Well, take your Bibles here this morning, turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. The title of my message is Living the Spirit-Filled Life, Living the Spirit-Filled Life. In the book of Galatians here, the Apostle Paul is the author, and he's writing to the Galatian churches in that region. Look at verse 14 of chapter 5 here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are Creator God, and you're sustainer of all life. You've given life and breath to all. And Father, because you're Creator God, we're accountable to thee, Lord. And Father, you have given us your Son, and we've become your children by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as the Apostle Paul penned these words many years ago, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we consider them here this morning. And Father, I pray you bless your word to our hearts. Encourage the saints of God. And I pray, Lord, that each one will be brought into a right relationship with you through your Son and through the Spirit of the living God that brings conviction and light to all. So, Lord, bless your word this morning. And, Lord, may I be a vessel that brings glory and honor to you. So, Father, increase our faith and our hope and our love and our purity in our lives. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, when I was in Virginia, this had been back in the early 80s, like maybe 1980, maybe 81. I was on staff at Thomas Road Baptist Church, and Rodney Wallace and I, we were in charge of the Sunday School Bus Ministry outreach. We were both division leaders, and we were seeing some college students on campus. And I never lived on campus. Lynchburg was my hometown. I lived at home when I went to Liberty. I never lived on campus, and Rodney and I were visiting some students. And as we were going through the dorms that they helped in the bus ministry, we were kind of confused because we couldn't quite find some of the people we were looking for and trying to get directions where the dorms were. So we asked these group of guys, where is this dorm at? And they said, it's right there. And so we had the room number and everything. And so we go into the guy's dorm. When you open the door, the glass door, and little block letters on the outside, and all the dorms were labeled either male or female. That was where the label right on the door, so you knew not to go in if you were of the right gender, which is a little twisted up today. Anyway, that's another whole story. Anyway, so we go into this dorm, and it had male right on the door. But I noticed something a little funny because it was looked like, yeah, glue can be on something and it's not there anymore. You see the impression. Well, we saw male, so we walk right in, and as soon as we opened the door and we started down, all of a sudden pandemonium broke out. I mean, there was hollering. Karen and I, we had walked into a girl's dorm. And I can still remember these words, guys on the floor, guys on the floor. And girls are going like, boom, man, they were flying everywhere into their rooms. Rodney and I were so embarrassed, we go flying out of that dorm. And those guys, we asked for direction, they're sitting over there just busting up laughing at us. They're just pointing at us, laughing. It was carrying on. And come to find out, I don't know who did it, but if you take out the first two words of female, F-E, what do you have? Male. Somebody pulled off those two letters on that door on us. And we walked right in that female dorm. And, oh, man, I still remember. Does it matter where your feet take you? Okay, I walked into that dorm, and I wish I had not walked into that dorm because we gave those guys just a laugh of their day. You know, we made their day. We walked into those girls' dorms. And yeah, but your feet, when you walk, they take you somewhere. And I wish my feet never took me that way, but I was deceived by the door and those guys. But your feet take you somewhere in life. And Paul is talking here about walking. Because he says there in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, walking. You know, walking is an action. walking, you have a destination in mind. Sometimes you aren't careful. How many of you walked into a door at night with the lights out and you're going down a hallway and somebody has a closet door a little ajar? And man, you never know how much inertia your body has till you hit something. You know what I'm saying? Your head hits something in the darkness. Yeah, your feet take you places. And if you're not careful, you can walk into things that can hurt you. And, you know, walking is something God has given the ability to do. Well, look here in verse 14 of chapter 5. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word. You want to keep the Bible. You want to know how to please God. It's just one word. If you do this thing, thou shalt what? What's that word? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You want to sum up the Bible? Because if you really love people, if I really love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal from him. Because I don't want nobody to steal from me. If I really love him, I'm not going to steal from him. If I really love my neighbor, I'm not going to lie and tell a lie that hurts his reputation or his character or makes somebody else look bad. You know, really, if you love people, you're going to treat them right. So he says in verse 14, hey, you can sum up the scriptures in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 15. But, you see that word but there? But if ye bite and devour one another. Now, try to picture that in your mind. You ever seen a dog fight? I mean, I've seen dogs going at it, and they're just like tearing each other up. I've never seen this, but I heard a guy tell a story one time. Maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I've already started, so anyway, I'll say it. But he took two cats, tied their tail together, and threw them over a clothesline. That was a cat fight, okay? That's bad. You know why? That's bad. Because those animals tore each other up. If you bite and devour, you ever seen people fight? They can be almost like animals at times. You know what I'm saying? They just bite and devour one another. Is that the way life should be? Should it be like verse 14, that you should love one another, do good to each other? You know, we'd all like to live in verse 14. But the reality of verse 15's there. But if you bite and devour one another, you know, that's the downside of living in a fallen world, a fallen humanity, a fallen nature, a depraved spirit and mind. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Yes, that's the world we live in. Is this world getting better or worse as the days go on? It's getting worse. Evil is becoming much more evil. You know, scammers are all the time figuring out how they can get your money. There's this latest scam going around, and they do this by numbers, because most people, but they do this hundreds and hundreds of times a day. They'll call somebody up, and as soon as you pick up the phone, you hear some screaming in the background. And if the person says, Mary, is that you? Then the scammer knows you have somebody in your family named Mary, and they'll say, we got Mary, and we demand that you give us a ransom immediately for her well-being. And they have the system set up that, you know, they get money from you. And most people, you know, when they first, they hang up, okay? They got it. But you do this hundreds of times a day, you're going to find a few people that you got them. You know, there's a lot of evilness out in this world, and it's not getting any better. Is it hopeless for us as people to live in this depraved world that we just have to get sucked into the culture and the times around us and just get dragged down with everything that's happening? Is that the way we have to look at life? You know, God really has a better way for us as believers. Because if you look in verse 15, that first word's but. There's a choice. But if. Verse 14 can be a reality. Verse 15 is a reality. Verse 16 is something God commands us to do. Because the problem, the challenge, is that we live in a depraved, sinful world. Now, with that being said, is this true or false? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that true or false? It's true, right? Because who are we comparing ourselves to? One another or to God? If I compare myself to God, I'm not as good as He is. He's perfect. He's holy, just, true, righteous, altogether. I'm not the standard. You're not the standard. I can always compare myself to somebody else and find somebody worse than me. Yeah, we're not the standard. God is. You know, God gives us a better way because He's the standard. And He commands us in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, if you look at verse 16, there's two things happening. You got the first part, a command, walk in the Spirit. The second part, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, is a warning. Within my nature, as a saved person, I have a new nature. I've been born again. I want to do God's will. I want to please Him. That's one way you know you're saved. You want to please God. That's one way you know you're saved. But the Apostle Paul said, and imagine this, Apostle Paul, he was caught up to the third heaven. Heard unspeakable things. A man's not lawful to utter. When you hear these things, you're not allowed to speak them. Paul was not allowed to speak them. He heard unspeakable things. He was caught up in the third heaven. But you know what Paul also said about himself? He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." What? Am. Oh, wretched man that. Why would he say that? Because in his heart, he saw this tension between doing God's will and walking in the flesh. Now, when the Bible talks about walking in the flesh, does that just mean my skin and my bones and my... Is that what the flesh means? Or is there a deeper meaning to what the Bible says is flesh? You know, when the Bible talks about walking, it's your old nature, the man before Christ, the man or woman before you knew God. It's the unredeemed, unregenerate, old nature of Adam. The flesh, the sinful nature that's within all of us. The Bible talks about we will get a glorified body one day. Why is it glorified? Because we're not going to have what? Sin nature. Isn't that going to be a great day? Isn't that going to be a blessed day when you stand and you're in heaven and that old sin nature that has just wrought havoc to humanity and you can live a life that's perfect without sin, without depravity, without any of these things. It's going to be a great day. But guess what? We're not there yet. And somebody once said, we sing about the sweet by and by. That's true. But they said, we live here in the nasty now and now. Do you know what I'm saying? That's where we're at right now. And that's where we find ourselves in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, God gives us this command, walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Is it possible? Is it only for the saints of God? Is it only for missionaries like Jay and Kelly Cross who have just given them lives? Are they the only ones that these upper echelon of Christianity of people, are they the only ones that can walk in the Spirit? Or is that meant for everybody? It's meant for everybody. How do you decide what is spirit and what is flesh? How do we decide that? Am I the arbitrator? Am I the one that makes that decision? Am I the one that defines good and bad? You know, God here, he, in a few words here in these verses, he kind of defines it for us. Verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, evident, shown forth. They're here for us to see." Why is that important? Why does God actually define it for us? Because Isaiah talks about people that call good evil and evil good. If you leave up to your own nature to decide what's evil, it's not a good place to be, because you can't decide it. Only God can. And God is the one that makes these decisions of what is right and what is wrong. Well, he gives us some illustrations here, some definitions of what walking in the flesh is. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit," it's contrary, "and the spirit against the flesh." You've got this working inside of you. There's a story some years ago, a missionary to the American Indians visited different villages, and he led a chief to the Lord and went on to some other village, came back later and said, "Chief, how you doing in your Christian life?" He says, "Man," he says, "I got two dogs within me." He says, "I got a dark dog and a white dog." And he said, "They fight all the time." And the missionary said, "Well, which one wins?" He says, "Whichever one I feed the most." And that's the sin nature. If you feed the spirit, it's going to win. If you feed the flesh, guess what? It's going to win. Whichever one you feed the most is going to win. And God says to us, feed the spirit, walk in the spirit. Where are our feet taking us? Where are we going? "And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Well, let's look at some of these definitions. If somebody is walking in the flesh, what does that mean? Well, Paul gives us a list here. The very first one he starts off with is adultery. Excuse me. In the Ten Commandments, it says, "Thou shalt not commit" what? Adultery. Years ago, when they were... printing press had first come out, and they were printing Bibles. There was actually a Bible called the Adulterer's Bible, because they printed the whole Bible perfectly, except in that passage in Exodus, and when it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," they left off the word "not" in that Bible printing. And it said, "Thou shalt commit adultery." And anyway, it's in somebody's museum somewhere. They call it the Adulterer's Bible, because the printer forgot to put that one little word "not" in there. You know, he starts that list off. Now, in our culture today, is adultery everywhere? Is it present in our culture? It's everywhere. And just because everybody's doing it, does that make it right? Absolutely not. It doesn't make it right. Just because everybody's doing it. There was a time years ago, I grew up in Virginia, and in the books and the laws of Virginia, it was against the law to commit adultery. You could be put in jail if you committed adultery. It was on the books. They've since rescinded that, but it was there for a time. If you committed adultery, you were going down to jail. You know, God has these things of walking in the flesh. Now, why is that important? Well, let's just briefly work down through fornication. Adultery is two married people having relations with each other outside the bonds of God's ordained marriage. Fornication, unmarried people having relations with each other. Uncleanliness, that's somebody that's got a dirty mind. Anything that they hear just has a twist to it, and they just have a filthy mind. They just take everything and make a dirty joke out of it. Lasciviousness, what does that mean? Well, that's, it carries the idea of just having this way of just living your life in a way that's unclean and unpure. It's unclean, it's unpure. Idolatry. It's worshiping of idols or anything that you put in the place of God. And when it comes to idolatry, can people worship themselves? Sure they can. They can worship themselves. You know, anything, idolatry. witchcraft. That's where we get our pharmacies, drugs, all kinds of. The word witchcraft there has the idea of pharmacy, drugs, and those kind of things. Potions, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling. You know, this big list. Why does God put that list there of all these things? Boom, 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 boom. Our works in the flesh. You know why? Because he wants people to know where they stand with him. You know, it'd be pretty bad if a hunter had some land and he didn't want people to trespass on it, and he never put up no trespassing signs, and you were hunting on state game land and you walked onto his property not knowing, and he had you arrested for trespassing, but he never put a sign up. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? You know what, God? He puts a sign up here. No trespassing. Don't come beyond this. He puts it right out there. So we know that this is not what pleases God. This big list. And you know what Paul wraps this up with in verse 21? Envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling. He wraps this up. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He puts that right out there. Now, with that being said, does the devil believe in God? Yes or no? He does. Is the devil saved? No. Can somebody believe in God and not be saved? Absolutely. Even demons believe in God and tremble at his name. Just because you know there's a God, he created heaven and earth, and you can know theology. You can know Jesus was buried, rose again from the dead the third day. You can know theology. The devil knows theology. But it doesn't make him saved. And if you have a pattern in your life that you're living this way in the flesh, boom, boom, all these things that are evident as a pattern, it's not a one-time falling, but this is a constant year after year after year experience for you. Paul has some strong words for you. He put that sign right out there. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is strong talk. And you know why Paul puts that out there? Because in eternity, there's a real heaven to gain, and there's a real hell to shun. Because heaven is forever and ever, and so is hell. It's forever and ever and ever. And he puts that right out there in plain. So we know those no trespassing signs have been put up. Boom, boom. Don't go here. Don't step over here. Don't live this way. The signs are up. And what happens if people just disregard the signs and bust right through them? You know what? There's a verse in the Bible that says, you shall reap what you what? Sow. You'll reap what you sow. Well, are we stuck here in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another? Do you have people you can't get along with? Relationships, spouses, co-workers? Are we stuck in our humanity? No hope? No, the answer is found in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? I don't want to walk in the flesh. I'm saved. I know God. I love God. I want to do right before God. How do I do this thing? How do I do my Christian life? Well, he says walk in the Spirit. Verse 22. This verse 21 and back, that's a negative. Hey, don't do this thing. Just don't do this thing. But verse 22 is moving ahead. This is what you do. This is what you practice and you perform and you strive for and you pray toward and you earnestly desire for. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, is that word fruit, is that singular or plural there? It's singular. See, it's not fruits of the Spirit. Well, some people have love, some have joy, some have peace. No, this is wrapped up in walking in the Spirit for you and for me as believers. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, this is what God's doing in your life. Now, you know God. What's that first word if you know God and you got the Holy Spirit in your life? It's love. Now, if you grieve and quench the Spirit of God in your life, you're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit working in your life. Is there such thing as a carnal Christian? Now, I'll say this carefully. There can be those that are saved, but they have things in their life, they got strongholds. I will say this about those type of people. That is true, they exist. But there is something in their heart and spirit that's crying out for God for deliverance and help. They know they're in sin, they know they have the stronghold, but there's something inside them that says, God, this isn't right and I need help. They may fall, but they're trying to get away from the sin. The sin has got them, it's a stronghold, Satan has got them. But they have this inward desire to get away from sin and to honor God. And a person that says they know God, but they have that no inward desire to get away from sin, probably doesn't know God. Because the fruit of the Spirit, when God's working in your life, He's going to have some things evidence. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, what do we love? What's the greatest commandment? Thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with what? All your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You know, God wants us to love Him on that level. It's been said men have loved God too little, but it can never be said that men love God too much. You can never love God too much. That's when God's Holy Spirit, you're going to have a love for God, and that's going to be manifested in your desire to go to church, your desire to have the Word read in your life, desire to pray. I mean, all these things are evidence of the love that you have for God and the love for one another. The first command is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. The second is likened to it, you shall love your neighbor as what? Yourself. That's what God would have us do. That is true Christian love that's manifesting itself through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. What is the difference between joy and happiness? Joy is based on your inward relationship with God. Your happenstance, what is happening in your life can change. Your happiness may change, but your joy can remain same because it's that inner river flowing deep in your heart that knows God. And that joy can be flowing in and through your life consistently, that you know God and you have that joy of the Lord in your heart, even though your happenstance or your happiness may not be there for the moment. But you know God, and His joy can be deep in your heart. Well, these are things that God's Spirit gives to us as believers, the love and the joy, that peace, the peace of God and the peace with God. I have peace with God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. The war is over. God's wrath does not rest upon me anymore. I have the peace with God because of the cross of Jesus Christ that I've embraced and received. The peace of God is something that He gives to me day by day in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that patience, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith in His Word and in His promises, the meekness or self-control, the temperance. Against such there is no law. How do you know if you're saved? Are there ways to know? Can a person know that they know that they know they're saved? How can I know these things? Verse 24, they that are Christ, you say you're a Christian, you say you belong to Him, have crucified the flesh. What is the flesh? Well, He just defined it for us. Adultery, fornication, all those things that He's defined. You they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. Is there a drawing power that the flesh has? Absolutely. Is there pleasure in sin? Absolutely. But if we know God, we see sin in a way that we see it as sinful. God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. It's not for me as a believer. And what does it mean to crucify? It means you put it to death. You feel these things swelling up inside of you, and you look to God and say, God, I don't like this. I feel these feelings, but I know they're not right. God, I pray through the Holy Spirit's power that you give me victory over these feelings I'm having. That's the flesh. We crucify them. We put them to death with its affections and lust. And Paul gives us challenge in verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, you say you're living in the Spirit, you know God, let us also walk in the Spirit. Where are our feet taking us? Verse 16 starts out, walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 says, at the end, walk in the Spirit. You know, that is the Christian life, living the Spirit-filled Christian life. It's a possibility for all of us. And what do? If you say, Pastor, I was raised in a Christian home. I know the ways, but my life's a mess. I want to start walking in the Spirit, but how do I undo all that I've done in life? What do I do with this? We looked at this verse in Sunday school. What's impossible for man is what? Possible with what? God. And you know, all God wants is your heart and your life. That's what He wants. You give Him your heart and your life, and you surrender to Him. And you say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to live for you. I want to live the Spirit-filled life. You know, our feet are going to take us somewhere. And that Spirit-filled life is going to help us fulfill verse 14. We shall love our neighbors ourselves. If we walk in the flesh, it's going to help us fulfill verse 15, we'll bite and devour one another. You're going to have so many broken relationships and conflicts and struggles in your life because you're not walking in the Spirit. You know, God gives us that choice that we make in our lives, how we should live. Because verse 15 says, but if, we can go in verse 14 or we can go in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, with heads bowed and eyes closed at this moment, as we look to Thee in prayer, and Father, I thank You that You have not abandoned us, Lord, but You've given us Your Holy Spirit to help us live the Christian life. And Father, I pray that through the Spirit of the living God, that You would search each heart here at this moment, whether we're walking in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit. And Father, because each walk is going to take us somewhere. Either it's going to take us closer to God, to heaven, or it's going to take us away from God to the eternal fires of hell. And Father, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would know the goodness of the Lord. And Father, You're a righteous God. There's no sin with Thee. And Lord, You demand righteousness from us. Lord, all the commandments You've given, You demand them from us. But Lord, which of us can say we are without sin? Lord, You provide righteousness for us through Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, He bled, He died on the cross and was buried, and the third day He rose again. And because He lives, we shall live also, Lord, and we thank You for that. Father, thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And Father, I thank You for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, Lord, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to make us clean, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank You for that. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, may we just search our hearts, and are we walking in the Spirit this past week? Have we been walking in the flesh? Lord, where have we been walking? And the quietness of this moment, would any of them say, Pastor, I've been walking in the flesh, and I want to walk in the Spirit. Would you pray for me this coming week that I'd walk in the Spirit, that I'd start a new life, a new beginning, that I would take and give my life afresh and anew to walk in. I don't want to walk in the flesh anymore. Would any here say, Pastor, pray for me this morning? Would anybody raise their hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? Lord, you know the hearts of all, and Father, you give the invitation to all. And Father, your love knows no limits, God. You're not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And Lord, that one day we'll stand before thee. So Lord, thank you for this time that we can do business with you. Thank you for the invitation that you give to each of us to cleanse our hearts afresh and anew. So Lord, help us this week as believers to walk in the Spirit and to honor you, God, as a creator God and redeemer God of all. So Lord, bless us toward this end. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for each one that walks in the Spirit, that pleases you and honors you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.